Only three named people in the Bible are described as having downcast faces. First one's easy. Any guesses? Cain. Cain's face was downcast after God refused his offering. Next is more difficult. The mother of Samuel had a downcast face before the prophet Eli blessed her, Hannah. I'm the third. You probably guessed that. Cleopas. You probably didn't guess that. I have a downcast face as I walk toward Emmaus with a friend. Over the past 3 days, our lives and hopes have been completely upended. Should we be happy? Should we be sad? Don't know. Hence, the downcast face.
After his resurrection, one of the first appearances of Jesus was to two disciples walking on the road from Jerusalem to a tiny outlying town. One named, one not, their encounter with the risen Lord changed the way people would view the Old Testament.
It's Monday. Jesus was buried 3 days ago. My friend and I are walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to a little village to the west, Emmaus. The road is dusty, hilly. We've been walking over 3 hours and the village is nowhere in sight. We've been discussing all of the events over the past 3 days.
A stranger, out of nowhere, walks up from somewhere behind us, falls right in step. "What are you two talking about?" he says in the cheeriest voice you can imagine. We stop, freeze in our tracks, and just stare at him. "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem this weekend who doesn't know the things that have happened?" I can barely respond in a civil tone, but Mr. Cheery can't read the room. "What things?" That's what he says. Doesn't change his tone or his smile. I mean, rude? Clueless? I mean, what rock has he been hiding under? Everybody knows what's happened. For the next hour, I bring him up to speed on all the things my friend and I have been discussing. I'll give you the short version. I tell him that we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Powerful prophet. The Jewish leaders turned him over to the Roman authorities to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. We had hoped this Jesus would be the Messiah of Israel, but that he died and was buried 3 days ago. I then explain that I'm going to tell him something that we don't know how to handle, process, manage. Some of the women in our group went to the tomb this morning, and his body was gone. And it's just hard to, you know. Anyway, they said that they had seen angels, and angels said that Jesus is alive. Some ran to the tomb to see for themselves, found it empty, just as the women said. So we stop right in the middle of the road, waiting for his response. I'm prepared, you know, let her rip, make fun of my story. "How foolish you are," he says. Suspicions confirmed. Now he'll just simply continue to berate me for being so senseless, mindless, silly, brainless. One of the above. I'm ready. I'm downcast, but I'm ready. "Why are you so slow to believe all that the prophets have said?" "What? Doesn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" For the next hour, the man explains how the Messiah is talked about in the books by Moses, the prophets, and all the scriptures. And for the first time in my life, I understand the Old Testament in a way that nobody has ever known.
I mean, we Jews have no idea what we do not know.
But the more the man talks, the more hope we have. My face perks up. We arrive in Emmaus. The stranger keeps walking westward. We convince him to eat with us. We're at the table. The stranger takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it. Boom! We're able to understand who the stranger is. Jesus! It's Jesus! And then, bam! He disappears from sight.
So, we finish the meal, go home,
kiss our spouses and we get ready for bed. No, we do not. We shout, we dance, we smile from ear to ear. We sprint back to Jerusalem, middle-aged, not-so-svelte Jewish men, robes and sandals, sprinting 7 miles to Jerusalem. Jesus is alive. We want to tell everybody that he's alive. We find the 11 and all the others. We blurt out our news, but it isn't new news. It's true, they say. He is risen and he has appeared to Simon Peter. Still, we want to tell our whole story and they love hearing it. But we no more finish talking about Jesus getting to the part about breaking the bread when Jesus appears among us, just stands there. Peace be with you. It is pandemonium, not peace. How'd he get there? How'd he get through the walls? Is he a ghost? Oh, this is cool, I think. I'm just little old Cleopas from the tiny village of Emmaus. I'm standing with the 11 disciples of Jesus, and I get to be with the resurrected Jesus for the second time? Awesome! Why are you so upset and full of doubt? The room comes to a complete halt. I'm holy hush for sure. Look at my hands and feet. Touch me and see. Does a ghost have flesh and blood like I do? Jesus stretches out his hands and shows us his feet. We see hands and feet with holes in them. Holes exactly the size of the Roman spikes used to crucify people. Jesus is flesh and blood, but not this exactly the same type as the rest of us. I mean, we're ecstatic. We're not sure what to do next. Jesus solves that problem for us. He asks for something to eat. Something to eat, yes! Now, I mean, I had just eaten with him a few hours earlier, so can he really be hungry? I hand him a piece of broiled fish anyway. Such an ordinary thing to do, eat fish. But it's the last piece of evidence any of us need. Jesus is alive, he's alive. And he sits down and we just surround him. This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything that was written about me in the Old Testament must be fulfilled. He opens our minds and explains the scriptures to us. I thought he'd explained everything in Emmaus. That was a starter course. This time, he starts with Genesis and ends with Malachi. He spends hours talking to us. It seems like minutes. We don't know it, but later the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus has said. Jesus finishes with a summary. The scriptures say that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name throughout the world, beginning in Jerusalem. You are all witnesses of all this. I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay here in the city until you have been fully empowered from on high. The end. The end of my story. My friend and I are not part of the chosen apostles. We walk back to Emmaus laughing like little kids all the way home. We hear that Jesus appears to hundreds of people over the next many weeks. Doesn't surprise us. We don't think anything Jesus will do will surprise us. We're wrong. We hear that Jesus leads his followers back to Bethany. When he nears Bethany, he blesses them, and then he rises in the air to be back with his Father in heaven. My friend and I are so full of the Holy Spirit that we're very powerful witnesses for Jesus. Nearly the whole village become followers. Things change in Emmaus, especially for these once downcast faces.